On the show today, we have Humanity's very own Jill Nowacki, who will be speaking on a CU Members Mortgage webinar on how to build your team in today's remote environment. Check it out. Hey, everybody. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Humanity's very own Jill Nowacki. Jill, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Mike. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. Looks like it's a beautiful day there on the East Coast. Looks like the sun is shining. So I hope you're out, be able to get out and enjoy the sun for a change.
Absolutely.
Good deal. Good deal. Hey, something else pretty cool. You are kind of the keynote webinar presenter for CU Members Mortgage. They're having a webinar coming up here on June 10th, and you're running the show there. You are the show, actually. And the topic is how to build your team in today's remote environment, recruit, develop, and retain talent. And this couldn't be any more timely than what we're going through right now. My gosh. Can you give us an overview?
Yeah, well, when you read it back, it sounds like a rather long title. So
I had to take a couple of breaths, but you're okay. But, no, I like it.
It's very informative. People will know exactly what they're getting into.
Exactly.
And to some degree, it is self-explanatory. But yes, this is definitely an interesting time to be working in executive recruiting, to be working in HR. So many of my contacts around the credit union space right now are HR leaders, and the way their jobs changed as they've moved into this environment has been absolutely incredible. Okay. The webinar itself came up because I was having a conversation with the executives over at CU Members Mortgage, and we were talking about one of the challenges in this remote workplace. It's not just about really connecting, staying connected to the team you have in place. But if your team is growing, and if you're one of the organizations that's really well positioned to take care of this very different time in the war for talent right now, It's a fantastic time to make that move and hire someone new. But it's a tricky time because It means maybe hiring someone you've never met face to face before. And so there are a lot of nuances that go into making those hiring decisions and then certainly the onboarding decision. I mean, So imagine this. You start your brand new job. You're so excited to make a change, and you go to your first day of work and you walk from your bedroom into the living room, turn on the same place you were yesterday, but now you're in a different job. So even the idea of starting a job in a remote environment is so different. And I think there are ways that companies who really want to get it right can focus on that and intentionally build toward an experience that runs new employees from the recruiting side of it, through the hiring side of it, and through the onboarding in a way that's really going to help them win the war for talent. So that's what the webinar is about, is trying to answer some of these questions and stir that conversation.
Yeah. So how do you build a team in today's remote environment? I'm cutting to the chase here, Jill. So how do you do that? Because it's everything has been flipped on its head, especially the job environment. So how do you do this? Or are there obviously there's new approaches to recruiting, developing, and retaining talent, et cetera, et cetera. So what's the 411 here?
Absolutely there is. And I guess, this is sort of a bizarre reverse answer to it, but one of the areas that, Mike, that when I started Humanity, the idea behind it was to really focus on how do we diversify credit unions? How do we create inclusive workplaces so that credit unions can be positioned to attract top talent? One of the challenges that I anticipate and have even started to see early on is that hiring in a remote environment, the lazy way to hire is to hire someone you already know. And so that it's because in a remote environment, the increased likelihood of that happening is so great because you can hire someone who you're comfortable with. You can hire someone who you know what your rapport is like, who you are comfortable with your communication style. But if you hire someone you know, it also increases the risk of, it increases the likelihood of hiring someone who is like you. And then you may miss out on great opportunities to really diversify. Yeah. And especially when we're looking at this remote environment, for teams that may really move into long-term remote workforces, there are some tremendous opportunities to find different team members from places other than where your headquarters might be. So if you're based in a small town somewhere, but you really want to have a broader perspective of different types of views or different audiences, or even if you're based in a big town, but you serve people from all over the country, you can use this remote work environment to try to find opportunities to diversify even geographically who you're working with and bringing in. So if you can challenge yourself to take those steps and move beyond the familiar and hiring that person who's known to you or who is referred to you by someone else, mm-hmm. and truly take a comprehensive recruiting approach to it, you may really find that there is some talent out there that may not be available to you in a typical hiring environment that you can bring in and really use to leverage the potential talent that's out there in a very different way to change your workforce.
Yeah, I'm thinking of like the whole geographic spectrum. I mean, because now you really open it up to a nationwide, not that it wouldn't be already, but really now with what we're doing right here now, I mean, it really opens you up to like, if you're in Connecticut and you want to hire somebody in Oregon, I mean, you can easily do that through this process now, as opposed to flying them in and, you know, doing the hotel stay and all that, and the dinners and all that type of stuff. Now this is, it seems it might make it a little bit, I don't know, say better, but more efficient, I would think.
Definitely more efficient. There's definitely some cost savings opportunities, and there's an interesting side to it too, which is if we are moving toward more and more remote delivery of service, and not even, this doesn't even necessarily have to be like remote education, but if you think about many credit unions that already moved toward the idea of like video tellers before the pandemic. And video tellers are essentially, it's like serving somebody by camera, right? Why wouldn't you want to interview that person in this manner and see how they are? Because that's what their real life looks like, right? And so if we're moving our workplaces to that format too, it matters how effectively someone can communicate through video or through phone. And so to actually change that interview process so that it reflects the regular day-to-day, i.e. a Zoom call, that's a great way to get an accurate read on how somebody might be in that situation. I think before all of this, the idea of just a phone interview, it wasn't going to tell you enough because so much of the interaction you might have with a person might be really face-to-face. But today, somebody's ability to be present and show up and communicate effectively via video is probably at least as important as somebody's ability to communicate face-to-face too.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. That's a great point. So I want to flip it on its head here a little bit here. What are some challenges though? What are some challenges in building a team kind of remotely?
As great as Zoom is and as great as this video is, there's something you can't feel about another person, I think, in the video interview. Yeah. I think in addition to that, as much as it's something to say, okay, well, video is a really important tool and we want to know how effective somebody is on video as far as their communication goes. For many of us, it's still very new tool. And so many people may feel uncomfortable in the video interview and you might not get the same presence of a candidate that you might get in real life. The second side to it too is that on the other, so I'm talking about the candidate's level of comfort, but there's also the interviewer's level of comfort too. And if the interviewer feels anxiety over being on camera, they may not realize that it's the video channel. They may just leave that interview feeling like something wasn't right there. And so if that happens, does it cause them to associate that discomfort with the candidate and feel uncomfortable with making that decision? A lot of it comes down to, though, we are so conditioned to feel the importance of that face-to-face connection, that human interaction, that to say we're going to remove that from the interview process, we're going to remove that and not have, not only not meet our candidates, but our candidates are make decisions to change their lives, change jobs, go to work for an organization where they've never even met their boss. And that it still feels impersonal to us, I think, to be making these kinds of decisions with this magnitude without what we are so conditioned to believe important, which is that face-to-face interaction.
Yeah, I just talked to a person yesterday who just got their first day on the job was today. And they went through the whole job process thing. Everything was remote. It was this. And works from his home and in a completely different state. And I mean, knock on wood, everything worked out really, in that case, it worked out really, really well. So, and I thought about our interview today when I was talking to him yesterday. I went, oh my gosh, the timing of this couldn't be more better. So.
And I think it'll be interesting too for those organizations that do change and they do go back to a traditional office at the end of the pandemic, whenever that is. I think my curiosity will be if it almost like a second first day for these employees who started during that remote time. But in reality, for many of us, will it feel like a second first day? Just that to have that time where you go 3 months or 6 months or however long it ends up being before people come back to the office. Mm-hmm. It is an interesting thing to think that you could go back to work with a coworker who's been your coworker for 6 months, but who you haven't met yet face to face. And as a new employee to go in and be on the job for 6 months, but still not sure where the water cooler is. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Can you talk about some challenges in that and the workplace aspect of it as well? Because I would think that would just raise a few, I don't want to say issues, but yeah, just a few challenges as well. Because we're almost getting used to this, and then going back to an office would be kind of weird. You know, everything's kind of flipped around now.
Yeah. So for the new employees who are adjusting to it, there are some advantages, I think, to being in a typical office when you're an employee, because you may have questions that people will answer you in the hallway that are quick, kind of like drive-by questions that happen just really quickly, as opposed to a situation where you have to intentionally make the time to reach out, to craft the email, make the phone call, send the message, and you can't just rely on happenstance in that remote environment. I do think what the challenge might be, though, is that as people get back to their regular office places, or as it becomes time to give that consideration, there are many studies that show increased productivity in the work from home environment. Now, I'm one of those employees who also does homeschooling part-time. We've talked about this before. And so I'm not sure my productivity goes up with him being home. I was remote before this all happened, and now I'm craving an office. But I do think that there is a reality for many people that their work from home experience has decreased the amount of time they spend commuting. So it's given them more work-life balance, and it's increased their ability to really find the flow and get into a project and be able to work on something start to finish uninterrupted. Mm-hmm. Because of that, I do believe that many organizations may see the value in allowing their employees to continue to stay remote even after the pandemic. So even if it feels safe enough again to go back to regular offices, probably most organizations will go into at least a hybrid approach, if not a full approach on that. Of course, you've seen, I'm sure, that Twitter now is that our employees can work from home or work remotely forever.
I saw that.
And Facebook has extended their work from home for quite some time. About 6 months ago, maybe a little bit longer, there were some articles that came out about how far behind financial services were in creating an employee experience, a workplace experience that was really employee-centric. And remote work was one of those things that at the time was cited, where financial institution executives were saying, it's impossible, there's no way, we'll never do it with our organizations. Well, I guess all it takes is a global pandemic to change that up a bit. So now there have been shifts, and I have talked to credit union leaders who have said, I can't imagine we'll ever have an office space where everybody is there at the same time again. Mm-hmm. And so I think there is definitely an increased openness to this idea of work from home opportunity. Mm-hmm. And with that, all of those same elements that come into really hiring and onboarding employees, that intentionality will become part of how we have to communicate and how we have to work with our workers going forward too.
Yeah, there's definitely pros and cons to both for sure. And we could go on for another couple of hours for sure, Jill, on this, but you've got lots of stuff to do here. So one of the comments that you had in your description is like, how do you put the remote genie back in the bottle, or do you even want to? And this is kind of what we were talking about, but I just love that statement. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, it's just that idea of, so now you know, for, and it goes back, I guess, a little bit to that statement of financial services always saying, well, we don't have the capacity to work home with our type of work. We just can't do that. And what we've seen is you can. If really push comes to shove, it is possible. Our members are still getting served. Mm-hmm. Our work is still getting done. Sometimes more of our work is getting done.
Yeah.
And our teams may even still be staying connected. Our culture may still be being fostered in that environment. Mm-hmm. And so if we've proven we can, and an employee comes to us and says, I really want to work from home now, you know, that's that. How do you put that genie back in the bottle? How do you get them and say, no, that doesn't work. That doesn't make sense. When in fact, there is a proven case study that demonstrates that it can and does work. And so then that's where that question of do you even want to comes in? Because if this is a chance for financial institutions, financial services to improve their position in that war for talent that was such an aggressive competitive fight before we moved into this, if this is a chance for financial services to offer better workplaces, mm-hmm. and workplaces that are more employee-centric, still have great productivity, still cultivate great results, then why would you want to go back to that old model that says, no, we can't do that, right, when in fact you can, and you can thrive in that environment.
And we've proven it during the last several weeks for sure. So what are the goals of this talk or this webinar? What do you want attendees to leave with? What are a couple of takeaways that they can go back to their offices, home or real, and use?
I would like to instill confidence in those organizations that are trying to decide if now is a good time to hire. And of course, there are many factors that go into whether or not now is a great time to add team members. But for those organizations that have that capacity to build their team, I want them to feel confident about doing it in this environment, mm-hmm. because I really think now is the time to win this war for talent for credit unions, where we for so long have had so many reasons why we just can't compete with other types of employment opportunities. And I think right now, I saw, as an executive recruiter, I saw almost literally overnight this big shift from it being a complete job seekers market where employers were struggling in this, yeah. you know, 3.5% unemployment rate to get enough candidates for their jobs. And almost overnight, it became that candidates were really seeking out new opportunities. And these were people who were still employed, but really wanting to find a place that treats their employees well, an organization where they feel like their job is safe and secure and that the organization is there for the long haul, mm-hmm. and where they feel like they can believe in the mission of that organization in a time that is sort of questionable.
Yeah.
And it probably didn't hurt much that people also had time to do their job searches without feeling like their boss was going to pop in their office and see over their shoulder too.
True.
On Indeed or something, right?
Exactly.
What are you doing on the job board right now? But so it did, I think it has created a tremendous opportunity for credit unions to really stand out. And credit unions have some great stories to tell about how they've treated their employees and treated their members during this time, mm-hmm. that is going to inspire people to want to go to work for credit unions. So to be able to help credit unions have the confidence to continue to move forward with their hiring and their onboarding during this process, I think would be an excellent outcome of this webinar.
Yeah, I agree. And in general, credit unions are pretty nimble organizations. So they can move around pretty well as they have proven during this time for sure. Last question for you, Jill, where can folks find out more information on this topic? Because I mean, again, it's more timely than ever that this is being talked about right now. So where can we go? Obviously your website or?
So my best place with articles on this is actually probably my community author profile on CU Insight.
Okay,
but cool. For articles authored other than from me, a great partner in our space who's done a lot of research on remote work is the Filing Research Institute, certainly. Oh, yeah. They've done some great work there. And then an outside the industry organization that is quick to pivot and put great workplace research out there too is the Harvard Business Review.
Okay, Oh, cool. All right. We will put all those links. We'll put all those links in the show notes for you. And a special thanks to the folks at CU Members Mortgage, too, for putting on this webinar. So,
absolutely. I'm so appreciative of them and their foresight and them wanting to make sure that they have something like this out there for their members, too.
Indeed. Yeah. Great topic, indeed. All right, Jill, I'm going to let you get back to work. Appreciate the time, as always. And stay safe and stay healthy, okay?
Thanks, Mike. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. Thanks.